Well, good afternoon, everyone. This is Scott Stevens with the Jesus Factor. A rough and tumble day here on the internet, but here on the Eagle Radio Network, by the power of God, we will prevail. We are thankful to have everybody working together with us, getting things up and running. Glad to have those of you that are here with us. We had a great bunch of services today, and normally on the Jesus Factor, it's been a blessing to do programs that would bring people an understanding and a knowledge of the things in history where God's hand has been manifested in the history of the world and the history of man, and how he has impacted and his people have impacted that history.
Today, because I'm here in
the mobile unit in South Carolina, it has been a pleasure in the past to get together with folks up here and talk a little bit about, in just an informal sense, about the things that God is doing in our lives. And my hope is that that's a little bit of a break from some of the hard historical factual data that we try and present on the Jesus Factor, bringing us together as a people in a way that we can be more fully in fellowship with the Lord, and that you, the listeners and people out there that would hear these broadcasts, would recognize that there's a place for you in the body of Christ, and that the way for you to get into that place is simply to believe the Word and do things in accordance with His ways. And today, one of the things that we had happen today, and it's somewhere a place that I wanted to start for folks, the South Carolina service today was an interesting one. And we get together here when Gail and I visit South Carolina and fellowship. Gail more with the ladies and me typically more with the men. And last night we had a very nice get together, and you know, we're just like a bunch of guys hanging out together. There's nothing terribly spiritual about the things that we do. And I think maybe people have the idea that being a minister of the Lord, you know, you got to wear pretty white robes and, you know, hide yourself away from everything. And, you know, I think people don't really get what it is to be spiritual. And a lot of times, being spiritual is simply something that we find in fellowship one with another. And the Lord uses us each individually, but for the good of one another and for the good of His body and to glorify Himself in and through all of this. And one of the things that happened today that, for me, I mean, I've seen this before, and I thank God I have, but I want to bring Paul and Philip in the conversation, because the three of us today each had an opportunity to bring the Word of God to the people that attended the South Carolina service. And if you didn't know us, and you weren't a part of the things that the Lord was doing in this particular ministry, you might have thought that we all sat down at a table and talked to one another, and each chose some scriptures and pasted them all together so they fit together just so. You might have thought that that was something that had to be rehearsed in order for that to happen. And that just is not the case. Each of us, in fellowship last night, took some things away, and when we came back together in the morning, we each had a different perspective on what the Lord was going to do with each of us individually. And so, Philip, let me ask you, you preach here in South Carolina all the time, all right? Has it been your experience that you and Paul have a message that fits together in each of the times you get together up there and share the Word with folks?
Absolutely.
When he doesn't steal from me before we get in there, yeah.
Yeah, I call Paul up in the morning and say, hey, what you been thinking about? What you been studying there?
So that's how you...
Romans 8, okay, cool. And then I go up there and he's like, you son of a gun. No, not really. We joke around like that. But no, yes, it's neat how the Lord brings that together. I mean, what I go up there and I preach, and then, you know, the Lord starts showing me some points that, you know, maybe I missed when I was up there and everything, and then I just see Paul just wrap it right up. And the Lord's good.
Lord's good that way, or brings a better perspective on what I was looking at. And it just, sometimes it is, I'm appalled on how that works out. And the Lord's good.
It seems like, I know that you say, and I've heard other ministers say this, they get up and the Lord shows them things. And, gives them things to give. I mean, we got like a movie screen, or what do you got going on in there, Philip? I'm going to put you on the spot here, brother.
Okay. Well,
because there's others out here. Look, not everybody. Some people think that in order to preach the gospel or in order to speak with people around, that you got to have a lot of practice, you got to go to school, you got to do all these things. But what you're saying is the Lord.
It's all on the job training, buddy.
Absolutely, on the job training. When I go up there, I usually have a big old panic attack beforehand, and freaking out. Don't have anything. I don't have nothing, and I don't know what the Lord has for the people or what. There's sometimes where I'll be thinking about a certain subject or something that I'll bring up, but for the most part, I just pray.
Amen.
And I just trust Him, and even when in the midst of me not trusting Him, He still shows me things. As I'm going up there, and he just gives me the words he meets me there, because he's good and he loves the people and he wants his word to be out to the people. And I learned something from what he does with me up there, and it's just an awesome thing. The Lord's good.
Amen. I mean, the idea, I think that really is the key, is the Lord actually wants, his desire is to bring the people in to his body and be connected in that way, that the way that only the Lord can connect with people. Paul, that's another thing we talked about today. You said it in the end. There's no other way to have the kind of fellowship that believers in Christ experience. Now, that was something you said towards the end of your message and wrapping it up.
Right. It's the only way is the way that the Lord set up.
And anyone can be included in this.
Yeah. That's his desire. That's why his word. We have his word. We have ministers. We have those with authority over us. This is not made to be kept a mystery.
Amen. It's open and manifest for anyone who wants to participate. And it's not a secret society or something where you got to read a bunch of eclectic books and learn a bunch of special knowledge. It's simply a matter of learning to trust the Lord and, in walking with Him, developing that relationship. Because that's what I'm hearing from you. Because I know my own experiences. I can be bogged down. Talk about as you went up, sometimes you don't have anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I can be bogged down in my own thoughts, things, circumstances, and get bogged down. And once I get to where I know I'm in trouble, it's that place actually where the Lord seems to, for me anyway, where the Lord seems to move most obviously. Philip?
Amen. I absolutely agree to that 100%. So you end up in a place of you just throw your hands up and say, "All right, Lord," and you give it all to Him, and he pours out. One of the things that came to my mind is what Paul was talking today in service about. We receive not because we ask amiss.
Amen.
Because we want it upon our own lust. And one of the things that I've noticed, I have Bible studies with my girls occasionally, my little girls and my wife.
Sure.
And one of the things, I will be going through Scripture, and I've actually gone, reading Scripture beforehand. But when I sit down and I share them this Scripture, and I share it with them, the Lord shows me so much more. It's because I'm giving that of what the Lord has given me, and I'm handing it to somebody else. And He reveals to me so much more for the people.
Yeah.
And that's not like being the Dead Sea. That's being, what is that other?
The Sea of Galilee.
The Sea of Galilee. Yeah. As the Lord He gives it to you to give it to others. That's what it's about.
And when I thought about, Paul, that sounded to me like the talents. Remember when the Lord says, I gave one guy five and gave another guy ten and gave the other guy one. The guy that gets the one is fearful and goes and hides, and the other guys multiply.
Right.
those talents. And it sounds to me like this is the kind of thing you're talking about, is the idea that you get this thing that the Lord gives you, and in faithful service you seek to bring it out, because that's His calling for you. His word is given to you to flow out and go to other people. And when you do that, you actually are, it's multiplied to you as well. Like Paul, I mean, I know we got a few listeners out there that I know that have had their own experiences in this. So if they share anything in the chat about these things, it'd be interesting, to talk about them. So if any of you there, I know I see Carter, for example, and Carter's a relative newcomer to the ministry, but I know that from time to time he has ministered to his mother, to friends of his out there. He's told a lot of people about Jesus. And I believe, and I mean, I can't speak for Carter, but I think that as he's beginning to step out in that faith, that's that place where you're not sure. You know, I mean, you don't know what you're going to say. You don't have a plan. But then as soon as you open your mouth and are serious about seeking the Lord and love the person that you're dealing with in front of you, the Lord will begin to work with you in that. Paul, I know that you have here in South Carolina, you're in authority over this particular part of the ministry in this geographic location. You have a number of people that you minister to here. So, I mean, yeah, right. And do you, I mean, and when you look at Paul, do you have a sense of your own competence to manage all of this?
I have a sense of my own incompetence.
So how do you, what do you, what I'm asking you as
I trust the Lord.
That's easy. It sounds good when you say it best. What are the mechanisms as a minister that you go through to get yourself to the place where the Lord can use you?
When you roll out of bed in the morning, you have to change your mind.
Right from the start. So you don't roll out of bed with butterflies?
No. I don't have butterflies blowing out my butt and all that. No. I have stuff blowing out my butt.
So you start out by establishing your attitude in the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right in, early in the day.
However many times it takes after that as well. Because we are at our base selfish, and you can't be a selfish minister.
Not and be profitable for anyone.
No.
I mean, that was another thing that you said today in the service. It was, if you set yourself above others, right, if you set yourself above others in thinking yourself to be better than others, you cannot minister out of that. So the idea is, I mean, in order for the Lord to be, for you to get out of the way and have the Lord use you, so the first step is get up in the morning and actually set your mind to do that. But then on an individual basis, when you're dealing with somebody that is before you, they got to be more important than what's going on with you right at that time. And you may have a lot of stuff going on in your life day to day.
You have to determine that your stuff comes later. Your stuff is secondary. When somebody needs you, they need you. That you need to be instant, as Paul says.
Instant in season. And so this is another important ingredient, the idea of the recognition that the Lord is present with us, in and through us at all times, and we can access, for the sake of others, by faith, His power to intervene in whatever problem they might be having. And I know, Philip, you've got your family, you have people at work. Hey, how do you, I mean, what kind of things you have to go through at work in contrasting how you did it? Because you shared with me this time around that you've had some changes in the way that you approach things at work. You mentioned one guy, Cotton. All right, we don't want him to get too famous out there. But he ain't got that big of an audience, so don't worry about it. But you mentioned this one guy. And I mean, you said to me during this visit that that you've had a sense that the Lord has kind of changed the way you've done things in the past, 3-4 weeks, or maybe over a month. Let's share a little bit what it's about. how that change looks and what you do to see to it that the Lord stays in the forefront for you.
Well, that's a pretty
Timothy at work.
Yeah, I got a Timothy at work. You know, I was at a place where work was getting rough. There was getting a lot of stuff handed to me, and I kind of came to a place where it's like, you know, I almost wanted to back down because I wasn't able to fulfill the duty that I was called to do there, or that I was being paid to do, and I didn't know what to do. I was at wit's end, and it was a choice for me that when help came, the Lord provided help. And look, I tell you, I butted heads with the help right off the rip. And the guy had a bunch of ideas, but what I ended up doing is realizing that, well, first I had to just throw my hands up and say, all right, Lord, this is how you guys want to do it, and this is what you want to do. That's fine.
So here's that, the humility. This is a common thread that we've run across here in the last 20 minutes a few times. That situation you're in, you know that you are not equal to the task before you. You hear Brother Steve talk about that all the time, as, you know, being a Christian lawyer. So that's the... Paul said the same thing, basically. He gets up in the morning. He knows he's not equal to the task. So that's the first thing. You threw your hands up in the air and decided.
Right.
That the Lord was going to be in control. So then some more of the things that...
What ended up happening was he was using him as my help, as the help that I needed to get this job done. And the Lord gave that to me. And it was a simple choice. It wasn't me busting my butt more. It wasn't me being stressed out or doing more. It wasn't either. It was a choice to lift this up to the Lord, throw my hands up, and say, okay, Lord, whatever you have.
Show me how to use what I got.
Yeah, show me how to use what I got. And when I did that, it was one of the biggest reliefs. And, you know, that was a change. And one thing that Paul said to me shortly after that was funny. And when he first told me that, I said, oh, no, I don't see it like that. No. He goes, well, one thing you do, where he brought me to James, where he says, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your minds, you double-minded. He told me, he said, you know, what you're trying to do is impress people and impress God with what you're able to do. And when you threw your hands up, that was you cleansing your hands and purifying your heart. And I was thinking, no, I just thought I was bogged down. But it struck me so hard that that was dead right. And, you know, in this flesh, I'm not capable of being a husband. I'm not capable of being a father. I'm not capable of being a boss. I'm not capable of doing these things. But with the Lord, I can do all these things. And only in Him can I do all these things. And it's that way that He sets before you, and you just submit under that way. And you say, okay, Lord. And He will straighten all these things out.
This is another common thread of today's service. The idea of not having a sense of being equal to the task before you. If you know that Jesus is far more qualified than you to do anything, to get a thing done, isn't it always the best course of action to seek Him in the midst of the thing first? And learning how to do that is just totally different than what we do in the natural. You talked about at work how you're doing all these things and you were feeling overwhelmed and you couldn't keep doing it. I know, because I've been in that situation at work. I've been wrestling with some of the same things as I've shared over the past couple of months. And seeking to have the Lord move. See, my natural tendency, like yours, is to try and do more. To step back and actually let the Lord work in the situation that He's got you in is critically important, because all these people that are around us, those of us out here that are in the listening audience that work in the world, each of the encounters that we have during the day can be just as profitable as a church service is for the people that are around.
Sometimes more so. For them.
Amen. Because there, the Lord's meeting them where they are. Right. The reality of His presence in their life. See, that's what...
We don't get together on Sunday to do church. I mean, the get together is to praise and glorify the Lord and minister to those who He sends us. And that looks a certain way, but it's not always the same way every day. And the church building, the church structure is all a form and a shadow of something that is inner representation. The body. Church is the body of Christ. Church isn't a building. Church doesn't matter where you get together. If it's just you and that person who needs Jesus right where he is in his life, that's where Jesus meets him.
Amen. The other thing I like to add to that is it's how good he is. You know, there's a...
Oh, yeah.
I was at work one day, and I was having a terrible time. I mean, it was a struggle all day long. I mean, the whole day. But the opportunity that came up at the end, it was a beautiful day. And I'll tell you why. Because I had the opportunity where all the guys at work were just gathered around me. I don't know how we got on this subject, but I started talking about... I was talking to one of the guys that was just coming in and how I got to my position. And I literally just put out my testimony and all stood around to hear. And here I am. The Lord's bigger than me. I'm having a bad day. Things are not going right. Everything's going sideways. But at the end of the day, I got to share how good the Lord was to me. Not how good I was at all.
Right.
But how good the Lord was to me. And that is available to them too.
And that's a witness to all of those guys who, in the midst of everything going sideways, the Lord's presence and will to do good in the midst of all of that is still ever present, ever in hand, if we just take the time and exercise our faith instead of exercising our hands and our strength, our personal
faith.
Strength,
ourselves.
That's what all that stuff is. The Lord will move for the sake of those around us. Now, I know Paul, in the ministry up here, some of this, I know... that Phil went through at work has led to him being a more able minister and a more fruitful minister under your authority.
Oh yeah, yeah. He learned a little bit from his work experience about he had a Timothy given to him at work, and He actually started becoming a Timothy to me. It's kind of a neat thing, yeah.
Yeah, that guy that I was butting heads with right at first became such a help to me. And I would, like, and it was an example. Lord used that as an example of how he was to me. I mean, he was, man, he'd go to hell and high water for me there at work. You know, what do you got me for you? What do you got for me to do? What do you got for me to do, man? He was ready to take the load off the shoulders, man, so we can operate more smoothly. And that was, I'm thinking to myself, convicted me. I'm going, this Lord showed me that, use that to say, that's how you need to be to Paul. And it's like, Lord, forgive me because I have not been. And yet, he had mercy on me. And it kind of gets me a little stirred up inside, but he yet had mercy on me.
Amen.
Good.
In spite of the fact that we are so often all about our own selves, all about the stuff that's going on with us, I mean, I know that the desire, and this was something that was talked about in the last hour, but it all, this is one of the things I noticed today about the radio shows that are here on Sunday. I mean, here we are, a group of guys in four or five different places all over the country. Okay. But the uniformity of the message, you know what I mean? The idea that it all could have been come out of the same person's mouth, the things that we're talking about today.
And Paul tells Corinthians that you speak all the same thing, as you be of the same mind, and you have a uniformity of message. So where Lord is, that's what you're going to have. You know, and everybody didn't come to this place the same way, and usually it wasn't a pretty trip. But the Lord is, when the Lord is who you're trying to serve and who you're trying to please, then the message, the continuity of the message out of the Bible, that doesn't change. It's And if you're all speaking the same thing and of the same, if you're all of the same mind, and the mind is the mind of Christ, the message isn't going to deviate.
Right.
And that's how the Lord works in us. We didn't conference together about what we're going to preach. Or you walk in there and the Lord starts opening stuff up. Now, usually Philip opens and the Lord just starts feeding me stuff. And, you know, what I found, because I used to open for Ricky, what I found was it really didn't matter where I started bumbling, fumbling, stumbling around at. Ricky, the Lord showed Ricky where to take it. And Philip's seeing the same thing. It doesn't matter where he starts bumbling, fumbling, stumbling around at. The Lord snatches it and gives us something out of it. And it isn't based on our competency.
Amen.
It's based on how good the Lord is. And he doesn't do it to puff us up about, gee, we delivered the message that he did. He does it because he loves his people.
Amen.
Amen.
And he brings them the word. And we're no better than that donkey.
Amen.
That was a great on the fly edit, wasn't it? That was good.
And you might say, I mean, when you look at the scriptures, Jesus talks about the sparrows and the flowers in the field, the lilies in the field. I mean, they might actually know, be more likely to get out of the way and have God's word come fast through them than we would. Because for us, I mean, it's way too often wanting to be all about us.
Yeah, we're right there. We can't get away from ourselves. You know, there was something interesting we talked about. I just wanted to bring this up. It was funny that, I seen this, watch this show. Movie years ago, and a bottle comes down, and it's the Bush people in Africa. They use these bottles for all kinds of good things, all kinds of stuff they start using. Well, then they started fighting over it and being violent with each other with it. And then they try to give it back. You know, that Coke bottle that came out of the sky that a guy threw off a plane was just a Coke bottle. The people were the ones that were screwed up.
Yep. And I mean, that was a point that got brought up last night, and really is actually, it might have been actually the door that opened to some of these other things that we talked about in fellowship last night. The idea that there's nothing here in the world in and of itself. All right?
Titus.
That's right. The Titus scripture. And that there's nothing here in the world, but those that are unbelieving, even their mind and conscience is defiled. So everything is going to be a curse to such a person. Whereas those that are believing and faithful, everything is going to be yay and yay.
Right.
Everything's going to find a use in its proper place and fade into history here in natural time as the way all natural things do.
And some people can sit there and listen to Jim Morrison and everything's just yay and amen. This guy to somebody else that's like, gee, if I had some pot right now, things would be better.
It wasn't Jimmy Morrison or the guitars and other stuff. It was the will of that person to continue in their own self-indulgent wickedness.
Yeah.
And one of the things that came up at the end of the, in the last hour, when you and Ricky, your program, was the idea that each of us individually really wanting and really being serious about wanting not to have that guy running things, recognizing how wicked and depraved. And we paper that stuff over. I mean, from the time we first draw breath, we begin, and our parents help us to do this, and our brothers and sisters, to paper over the fact that as a natural person, all we care about is ourselves. And that has to be, when the Lord begins to open this up to you, and I mean, I know when I was a young Christian, I spent probably 2 years on the most enjoyable merry-go-round ride that I ever thought was possible. I didn't believe you could be that happy.
Yeah.
I mean, I was astounded. And I mean, because I had been happy from time to time before, but the idea that eternal joy that fills you, particularly as a youthful Christian, and not having to do really anything to receive of it, you know what I mean? But then all of a sudden the Lord wants you to grow up. Right? So he pulls the string a little bit. And everything's not so happy, happy, joy. All of a sudden, you got to believe God when you're not feeling all that good. And then when you don't feel all that good and you look around inside your mind, you begin to see the reasons why you don't feel all that good. As he pulls the grace off of these things, in today's service in the church, you talked about he loved us even when we were yet sinners. He came and paid the price on the cross for us. And I know as the Lord begins to show and continues to show in me just the total depravity, the desire to remain in the natural, often being bigger than my desire to serve God. I mean, that's a tough thing to say in a room full of ministers and ministers online. But for me, way too often, you know what I mean? I don't want to do things the Lord's way in with some particular situation. And when I see that about myself, I mean, I am scared out of my ever-loving wits. You know what I mean? That's another issue. We didn't talk that much in today's services about the fear of God.
Right.
Right? But towards the end of the hour that you had with Ricky, he talked about this idea of when we recognize, when we see these things in ourselves, it really ought to provoke in us fear and disgust and love. These big words that describe, you know, how we internally react to the worst thing that we could imagine. You know what I mean? And that's part of that, the visitation, the accountability.
The fear that I'm doing it my own way.
Yeah.
I don't want to fall back into that.
Because it's...
it's death and destruction.
Death and unprofitable. But the idea that we still, because of our nature, and because that guy's strapped on pretty tight, right, we got to fight our way out of that, you say every morning. I agree. I mean, every morning to begin with. But that disgust with our own natural state is a key ingredient. It's a key ingredient to coming to that place where he talks about in Philippians. He said that walking after that I may apprehend that for which I'm apprehended
of
God. Right? And that's that perfect, mature place as a Christian where you recognize these things about yourself and you're serious about being repentant of those things. And in that place, that's that place of humility where the Lord can actually, by his power, begin to do some things with you. Philip, you have the youth ministry here in the afternoon. You deal with the kids over here. How's that been treating you?
That's been a huge blessing. That's one of those things, like going through the scripture with my family, and the Lord shows me more things. You know, one of the things that we've talking about is operating like a body out there on the field, doing the part that we were called to do, and the Lord has showed me so much in that. And you see, like my daughter today, she didn't want to play. She wanted to hang out with her cousin. And I said, no, you're going to play. You're going to play. But when she made that choice to do it when she didn't feel like it, like you were talking about before, she started to be having a good time and being filled with joy. And the Lord met her and making that choice to go out there and do it anyways. And some encouragement from me came about, but praise the Lord. And I brought that to the table to them, and that showed me something, and that ministered to all the kids. And that ministers to me. Because we have that same struggle.
Yep.
That same struggle. We have that.
And see, it's also another part of that humility, that you can actually put yourself as a child. Right? As we're encouraged by Scripture, right? If we can set ourselves in humility, even among children, the Lord can use us for their sake. And I mean, this is an area where...
My grandmother was a firm believer in the part about Proverbs, about beating the hell out of your children.
It's needful from time to time. But,
beat the hell out of your children. That's grace to them.
Amen.
So,
He said, beat the hell out of them.
That you don't want the hell, you don't want any hell in them. No.
Nope. Amen. And I know, Paul, here in South Carolina, one of the things I noticed when I got up today, and I mean, I didn't meet everybody, but having come to the ministry here, I'll be every 2 or 3 months. I'd like to get up at least every 2, but that's been something of a battle as well. And there are a lot of folks here that I had not seen before. I'm wondering, there are a few folks in particular that there are some family members that are, you know, that are coming in. I know that you know, we have a couple here that lives with you on the property. He's an older guy that's come in. How are you managing, Paul, with the new newcomers to the? How are you managing? Are you you're discipling, or is he are you ministering to the older gentleman that was here?
Some, yes, some. What I you know, I'm not discipling anybody,
right?
But what I'm doing is going through the Articles of Faith, and we have a lighthouse meeting with the members of the ministry on Saturday nights, and I'm going through that, and it's awesome because within myself, I know I have nothing to offer, but the Lord has something to offer. And that's the only thing I can count on when I'm going through these things. It's been a blessing to see the people come in. That's for sure. And, you know, the other part, like I shared with you guys before, what I am to be, the Paul, and helpful in any way.
Terry, Jeff, and Jeff's dad.
Yeah, I mean, I knew that, and I wasn't sure. I mean, we can use first names, and I'm sure nobody would be offended, but he certainly looked today. I remember I had just had a glance at him one other time. He looked a lot better. Looks like he's coming along.
Yeah. Lisa's mother was there.
Hope's sister.
Hope's sister was there.
Hope's niece.
Yeah, Gina and her family were there. So there's a lot of Lisa's been ministering to Gina, and
Brad's joining us here. Brad and
I just bring this around full circle for a moment. You know, we were talking about how you begin reaching out to people and you feel unable, which is true. You are unable. What do you do to prep for that? And if we do what Paul admonished Timothy and study to show ourselves approved, and like Phil was talking about the Articles of Faith, it really came home to me. I was at work, and somebody asked me something that should have been a very basic question, and I was hemming and hawing. I didn't know. And so if we maintain fellowship as we're admonished, like my discipleship coach, Charlie, he's telling me, stay in the Scriptures daily. Get the Articles of Faith, show up, you know, keep fellowship, then we find ourselves in a place where we are, in fact, able to minister to people around us. It doesn't have to be a big deal.
Because it's not about that. It's not about us. It's about delivering what the Lord's given to us and offering that grace that He's gave to us to other people. Because He died for everybody out there.
Not what we have, but
right,
what we've been
Mike,
given. That's exactly
Mike,
right.
Yeah, I mean, amen. You have a situation amongst the people here where it seems like it's a very, I mean, it's one of the, I remember Northfield up in Vermont years ago might have had, and we in New Hampshire for brief periods had, you know, crowds, you know, bigger numbers of people than from day to day usually stick around. But I see that there's a lot of, I mean, witness that the Lord, through all the various people, is ministering and bringing others that want to know Him. And I mean, that's the kind of fruitfulness that is not, has been, I know in Florida I struggle to get the word into people. And I mean, it is just such a blessing. And but I know, I was looking at Paul, I mean, I know he's got, you got a full house, you got a handful. That's a responsibility for a minister.
Sure.
So in terms of prayer and those kinds of things, I mean, you represent and intervene.
I count on the Lord.
Amen.
It's not in my nature to give a rip. But the Lord loves him, and the Lord's good to him. If they get anything from me at all, it's because the Lord's good. Not because I am particularly worthy. In fact, it is in spite of the fact that I am particularly unworthy.
Amen. And what Paul said, Apostle Paul said, came to save sinners of whom I am
chief.
Once again, a key ingredient as a minister of being able to deliver the goods of Jesus Christ. His stuff begins with the recognition that our stuff is not worth anything. And having a stand in that day in and day out is a labor.
I'm like the centurion. You know, I know what it's like because you're a man under authority, and I know how that works. I get feedback all the time from those over me, and they keep me in place.
Right, and that's the other thing. The unseen of this group is those of us that are here today are under authority of others that may not be physically present, but we see to it that they know our business and that they know the things that are going on with us in our ministries and in our lives so that they can intervene in prayer. Brad mentioned Charles up in Vermont, all right? And while he's not present online today, I mean, he disciples Brad. I know that I speak with Steve regularly, and I mean, this is the way the body of Christ is designed to function in accordance with Scripture. It's not something that we've cooked up, sadly, like so many churches that try and find, you know, team meetings and, you know, groups and councils and all these other different things, business meetings and things like that. These are not ideas that we've invented.
No.
This is the Lord's way. And there are times when we all jump for joy for this all the time, right? Right? Correction?
Yeah, well.
Charlie's favorite phrase in dealing with me for a while was, well, the issue here is really that you suck.
The radical idea that Steve was talking about a while back, that hadn't been too long ago, was to look forward to the Lord's chastisement. Because if you're not chastised, then you're a bastard.
Yeah, thy rod and thy staff.
Yep. Psalm 23, thy rod and thy staff comfort.
Yeah, that wasn't something that was just invented there in Hebrews, where it's uncomfortable there in chapter 12. That was back in Psalms, back in David. David got that.
Oh yes, he did. I mean, you see in Psalm 51 his acquaintance with needing to have a restored and purified heart.
Yeah.
That, I mean, and these are all ingredients for those that are listening. That
God's way has not ever changed. And when we're not in line with that, then it's incumbent upon us to choose to change.
That's right. Because he will not bend our wills.
No.
He will certainly allow us, if we sow to the flesh, to reap...
from the flesh corruption.
The flesh corruption. And ultimately, even those of us that have believed can end up going to hell. And there's a lot of ministers out there that don't want to hear that because it makes them accountable.
Yeah.
But that is a good thing, that if we reap to the flesh, not that we reap to the flesh, but that if we do reap or sow to the flesh, we reap from the flesh, because that is what will put you back and
focus my eyes back on the Lord.
Kick back into play.
Amen. And meanwhile, during the period of time we go through periods, I went through a period of years, and I'm still seeking to battle my way out of complacency.
That's the chastisement of the Lord is yet grace. It's yet grace.
And I mean, he was yet, when I began to seek and be serious about getting things right and getting free of that complacent attitude that I had and recognizing it is my problem. I pray to the Lord all day long. But if I'm not, there are things I have to do. Choices I got, that's right, that he can't make for me. All right, and those are the things where we have that accountability. The idea that if you choose to sow to him, then you will reap life and peace from that. In areas where you do not choose to sow to him, and if they be big enough, he will. And this is the thing, I think the beginning of this particular subject was when Brother Steve had said, learn to crave the chastisement of the Lord. Learn to prefer it. Because in its absence, we're bastards.
You don't know where you are.
Yeah. And that's how you get complacent. You know, it's easy to become complacent.
Don't want
to
know where I am.
Yep. Now, the other thing I was I thought I'd talk a little bit about, because people have mentioned it, and we've spoken about it in other meetings online. I know, Philip, you're doing some work on the building out here, getting ready to put a floor in to accommodate some more folks as we were bursting out of the door old chapel today.
Every chair was filled up and people were standing, and the floor's coming along, and it's one of those things. It's the same type of thing that I had going on with, you know.
We don't look like ministers, and our church doesn't look like a church.
Right.
That sheep shed is a sheep shed.
And, but, you know, praise the Lord, it's one of those things where the Lord was yet good. Somebody's giving me material. Then I don't know how to lay this floor. I don't know how to do this. But then now I've got help. Help has come to me. And it's once again, Lord, you're good. Thank you.
Yep.
Amen. And I mean, so the place that you're in there, Philip, you've got the floor studded out. For those of you who don't know how things are here in the Deep South, and some of you out there do and some of you don't, but in the Deep South, very often houses are built on a slab. Concrete slab, flat thing that you pour out.
I thought you were going to go where you're constantly fixing to get around to get ready to think about doing something.
And well, no, but the idea that the houses are built on a slab, and what happens is, in time, I mean, you can actually get a situation where the water from outside will run up higher, taller than the slab and come in up on the slab. Okay? And particularly in buildings that have been around for a while, have had some time to settle. In New England, we have a little bit different problems, but here in the South, this is one of them. And so, Brother Paul made a decision to put a raised floor in to this, what was once a home, became a cattery, a place where Paul's beloved and late deceased mother had raised up cats and created some breeds in there. And it's about 30 by 40.
So you're saying that our new church building is going to be an ex-cat house.
Is an ex-cat house, right? And that's, I mean, again, we may not look the part, but praise God, he is with us, all right? And Philip, I mean, you've studded out the floor, right? You've got studs every 16 inches so that wood floor that you're going to put in now is up off the concrete floor, right?
Yes, it was very unlevel all the way around. So there's a lot of cutting, a lot of chalks, and we got that studded out. Now we're ready for the OSB to come in, and we'll put a wood floor on top of it. So it's praise the Lord. And guys, keep me in prayer out there. Keep us in prayer out there as we go about doing this and getting this done.
Yeah, and we're going to be sure that here we get some pictures of things as we're going along. We'll begin to put them up online so people can see. We may take some pictures this afternoon and find a way to get them posted so people can see what's going on with that, because it's going to be a great, this is going to be a real blessing to the people here in South Carolina. And I can tell you, as the Lord has counseled Paul and his household here, he is always welcomes in fellowship and hospitality those that would come and hear the word of God here. And it's a nice spread, got a lot of land, plenty of room,
quiet. It's a good place to get with the Lord, at like unto Grace Ranch in different part of the country. Go ahead, Philip. I know you want to share a couple more things.
There's one thing we're talking about, the chastisement of the Lord, and that, you know, where Steve was talking about the chastisement of the Lord. But what I wanted to bring up was that the people that the Lord's put in front of us, it is a blessing that we have that, so we can get shed of the stuff that we do get visited with, the crap that's showing in our hearts that we don't see, that we can get shed of it and be in the Lord. And it's a huge blessing in that. I wanted to bring that up.
Amen. It is a blessing. I mean, having folks that are interested in and are committed to hearing the Word of God as a minister, there's perhaps other than the Lord Himself, there's not a thing that you hold more dear than those that actually have made that decision and are willing to stick in the fight and come, the ones that are coming early and in all the different stages along, how much of a blessing it is to be allowed to serve God and minister to these folks. And I know that each of us feels that way, and I know everyone out there, everyone in this ministry is zealous to see others receive the good things that God has shared with us. And our hope is, and by these radio programs here on Sunday morning and all through the week, we've got broadcasts here on the Eagle Radio Network. We've got the men's Bible study on Tuesday night, the ladies' Bible study on Wednesday night. We've got, Paul has a study that he does on Thursday. And there's all services all day long.
And there's the Rick Davis Show
all week long. And Big Daddy Pig Ben. And I mean, these are all broadcasts where... Amen. These are all broadcasts where we can come and hear and learn of the things of God and have fellowship. Because if you want to serve God, I mean, one thing that you have to... I know I've always had to get myself to do, particularly not living close to anybody. I gotta make the move to get to where people who share my faith are. And to all of you out there,
we are done.
Yep. And we're wrapping it up here on the Jesus Factor. So we look forward to seeing all of you up online, and hopefully all of you are beginning to make your plans for the convention out at Grace Ranch in October. So this is Scott Stevens for the Jesus Factor here on the Eagle Radio Network in the mobile unit up in South Carolina. Looking forward to seeing you again next week.